Turning your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 7 in just a moment. But while you're turning there, let me go ahead and start. You known anyone that adopted a child? Maybe you've been adopted, I don't know. But, you know, we probably all know of someone that adopted a child or more than one. When I was in college, one of my roommates, and then we were roommates for a little bit in seminary, Terry and I got married on August the 7th. The next Saturday, our friends John and Kathy got married. John was my roommate before I got married, when I was in college and seminary. And they started, from day one, they wanted to have children. But they were told that they could not have children. So one day they adopted two brothers. And they had the same mother but different fathers. And they adopted those two because they thought they would never be able to have children. Guess what God does? They not only had one, they had two girls. And now both of those are adults. And one even has a child. One's married. One has a child, I think. And so they adopted those two boys. And then over in Stapleton, Georgia, when I was pastor over there, there's a couple that has become very close friends. They were told they could never have children. So they made arrangements to adopt a little boy, and it was going to be in Texas. And they flew out to Texas when that mother was going to give birth. And when the mother of the child gave birth, they gave that little newborn baby to our friends, Jimmy and Joyce. And after several weeks of having to wait for paperwork to clear and everything, they came home, and I even got to hold that little baby. And when we had a baby dedication, I held that little baby. That little baby is now a grown man and has two children of his own. And but our friends, Jimmy and Joyce, as well as John and Kathy, they love those adopted children as if they are their own children. And if I was to take you over to Jimmy and Joyce's house in Rheins, Georgia, they, you know, their little grandkids are there every day, every single day, and you wouldn't even know that their father was adopted. I mean, they'll tell you if you ask, but you wouldn't know that. But what about you? Did you know that we are all adopted ourselves? We are adopted into God's kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." So that verse tells us we've been adopted. Adopted by God the Father through Jesus Christ. The great I Am of Exodus says who we are, in that we are his children. We're chosen. We're adopted by him. Now, we're adopted by God as Father. In verse 3, it says, Jesus tells us to see God as our Father. Now, we see that in the Old Testament a little bit, but we really see it in the New Testament. I mean, even in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus said we should pray like this, and that was an example, it doesn't mean that we would necessarily pray that prayer every single day. But it's an example. He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Now, some say, you know, the Lord's name is in some places we'd see Yahweh, in other places we see other names of God, but not everyone is not a child of God. Now, listen to me carefully here, okay? Don't go off somewhere that I'm not trying to go. Everyone is not a child of God. Everyone was created by God, but not all have come into the adoption process because it's a choice. We get to make the choice. Do we want to be adopted into the kingdom? You know, when you adopt a baby, like our friends Jimmy and Joyce, when they adopted that little baby, that baby didn't have any say in being adopted. I mean, until Jimmy actually took him as a teenager to see his birth mother, he didn't have a clue who she was because he had never met her, never heard from her. So a child in that in the baby stage or early child stage doesn't have a choice, but we as adults have a choice because God offers us that adoption and we can say, yes, nope, not interested. Yes, I'll come into the family. No, I don't want to be in your family. We have that choice. Now, God chooses to use family terms to express his relationship with us as the fatherhood of God, authority. Think back when you were growing up. Hopefully, your father had authority in the house. If your father told you to do something, you better do it. I remember my father told me, I never met my dad's father. He died back in the 40s. But my grandfather, one time when my dad was a little boy, my dad was showing off and he was playing on a 55-gallon drum, dancing around, showing off to a little girl. And my grandfather said, son, don't do that anymore. Get off that barrel. Well, my dad just kept dancing around there, and the next thing I know, he had a shovel slammed up against his rear end, knocked him off of the barrel, and my grandfather told him, said, son, when I tell you to do something, you better do it. And my father never did it again. And you remember that authority figure that your father probably had, hopefully had. And then Jesus talks about the intimacy of a father, and he uses words like a fortress or a tower or a rock, a refuge, a father, different words. And then he talks about the affection that a father can give. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner the love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. That is an affection that God the Father has for us, that we are called his children. Now, some people struggle with the image of God as Father, because some people did not have a good father experience. I understand that. And sometimes it's a deep wound. I know someone right now in Statesboro, his father has passed away, and he doesn't even like talking about his father. He said, I did not have a good childhood. I did not have a good godly Christian father. He does not like talking about it. And when I was growing up in the church that I grew up in, there was a lady, and I can't even remember her name now. I can picture her, but I can't remember her name. But she had a son, and he was probably in his early 20s. And I didn't really know the son. The son didn't come to church. He was into drugs and alcohol, and he was involved in a drug deal, and it went bad, and someone bashed his head in, and he died. But I do remember this. The mother told the pastor at the funeral, do not mention the word father, period. Do not mention the word God, period. You know, it's like we talked about in Sunday school this morning. I'd have to decline to do that funeral. I just would have to decline to do that. Now, I understand this guy had a bad father situation. It was really terrible from what I remember this mother talking about. But she said, do not use the word God, do not use the word father in your funeral message. Now, good fathers create an understanding of God as the Father. And I think that would apply not just to fathers, but to grandfathers or great-grandfathers. Teach an understanding of who God is to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren. Bad fathers create a longing for God as the Father. I'm certain that young man, and like I said, I didn't really know him. His mother was pretty faithful in the church, but he didn't. But, you know, he didn't have an earthly father that was any good. And so therefore, he didn't know anything about a good father, a God being a good father to him. Now, we are adopted through grace. We sang about that in one of the songs just a moment ago. Verse 6, it says, he's rooted in his grace. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We don't really, you know, in one sense, we don't choose it, although we do choose to accept it. But before adoption, we were children of wrath. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, I'm not going to read that, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we were known as children of wrath before we were adopted into God's kingdom. But after that adoption, we are called children of God in John 1, 12 and 13. Now, that made us highly favored. Now, those of you that are fathers in this room, would you do anything for your kids? Probably would, because you love them. Even when they do things that you don't like, you still love them. You do anything for them. I heard a few weeks ago when I was doing Walk to Emmaus, there was a guy on there, one of the leaders. He gave a talk. He is actually an ordained minister himself. He said, you know, one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do was to give my daughter away in marriage to another woman. He said, I don't approve of that lifestyle. I don't approve of what she did, but I still love my daughter. And that's the way God is with us. He still loves us. Even when we sin and when we mess up, he still loves us. It's a lasting permanence. It's not like, okay, God loves me today, but next year, you know, he may not. Next week, he may not because I mess up or I make a mistake. He still loves us. I had another minister one time that asked me a while back, his daughter is gay, and he said, I just can't deal with this. I said, you got to love your daughter like God loves you. You may not love the sin, but you love your daughter. And it was also the result of being children of God. There's an inheritance there. Now, in the first century, adoption was to preserve a lineage, to be in line for an inheritance. And it was mostly an adult adoption, not for babies. But then it changed, and now we think of adoptions as being where we would adopt a child. Or maybe adopt not necessarily a child, but an older child. Like our friends John and Kathy, those were teenage boys that they adopted instead of babies. And one time when I was in India, there was an Indian girl, and I found out that she had some mental disabilities, but she point blank asked me, would you adopt me as your daughter? Wow, I mean, she was probably a teenager or something, and I was kind of floored by that. And so I asked one of the local leaders, and they said, that won't happen. I said, why won't it happen? And he said, because you're an American Christian, it won't happen. He said, if you were Hindu, it wouldn't be a problem, but because you're a Christian, you'd have a difficult time doing that. But you see, God the Father took us from death to life. He took us from darkness to light. Now, you know, some people may prefer darkness. I'm one of these that if you were to come into my house or come out over to the house at night, in the middle of the night, I'm going to have a light on. I just prefer not necessarily a light overhead, but some sort of light. But I've always just felt uncomfortable when it's 100% darkness. If you were to go to, in Kentucky, there's Mammoth Caves. It's a park. And my parents took me there when I was a kid. And if you go into those caves, they go in, there's one of them that you go in and they say, "We're going to show you how dark is." And they turn the lights out and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was that dark. I don't like it that dark, okay? I like a little light at least so I can see where I'm going, what I need to do. But he takes us from darkness to light. He takes us from hopelessness to hope. He takes us from a pathway to hell to a pathway or highway to heaven. We were lost. We were dead. We were captured by sin. We were his enemies, so to speak, and under wrath and condemnation. But through his love, through his mercy, through his grace, God the Father had pity on us. Wow. Do we really think about that mercy and that grace that he had for us? Now, I'm not asking you to confess, but think about over your life sins that you've committed. Don't raise your hand. Don't share anything. I'm not asking for that. Think about sins that you may have committed over your life. How bad that was. We used the phrase this morning, how ugly Jesus was on the cross to his Father because he took all of our sins on himself. He took all of our sins on himself for those moments that he was on that cross. And yet God had mercy on us and on each one of you and his love for you. So he sent Jesus to give us life. He died on the cross and he rose again 3 days later. Now we're getting ready to celebrate Easter. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. The next Sunday is Easter. We celebrate the risen Savior at this time. But really, we should celebrate the risen Savior all year long, not just on Easter. If you believe in what God the Father has done, you're no longer a slave, but a son. Yesterday, I saw a wooden board about this big, and it had some ironwork on it. And it had a ring about that big. And my son said, "What is that?" I said, "I'm not 100% certain, but I think that it was a slave collar." And he did his Google search on it, and sure enough, that's what it was a slave collar. But you see, we are no longer a slave, but we are a son of God. We're no longer his enemy, but we are his friend. We no longer live under his judgment, but under his grace. By God's grace as our Father, we are redeemed, we're forgiven, we're restored, we're remade. We're showered with his love and mercy, kindness and grace. To be right with God, the judge, our judge, is a great thing, to be right with him. But to be loved and cared for by God is a far greater thing than just simply being right with him. We are adopted for his glory. In verses 5 and 6, talks about accepted the good pleasure to praise his holy name, to praise his glory. Not a reflection of who you are, or who I am, or who anyone is, but who God is. We're trophies displaying his grace to the world. Now, how do we do that? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The last two Thursday nights and the next three Thursday nights, I actually teach in a school of ministry in Statesboro. And each Thursday night, there's four classes going on, two simultaneously. And so I got there early enough to sit in on the first class before my time to teach. And I teach preaching and oral missions. And so the one that was teaching ahead of me, he was talking about how people that claim that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, or they claim that they're such a fine Christian, or they claim they go to church, But during the week, the character is totally different. And he said, I don't trust someone like that. If their character doesn't match with the way they live on Sunday, the character during the week, then something is wrong with that picture. And I may have shared with you before about a man that I knew when I was in college, and I was a youth minister in a church. He asked me, this guy had been divorced and remarried, but now he was a godly man. And he said, why can't I be a deacon in this church? I said, well, I'm not the pastor. I don't make that call, you know. I'm just the part-time youth minister. And he said, but so-and-so over here is a deacon. He said, I can tell you things that he does during the week that'll make you almost throw up. And he did. And it was like, whoa, that's bad. In other words, he got the prostitute after the drunkard party. And my friend told me, he said, I used to be that way, but I can't be a deacon, but he's a deacon. Why? I said, I can't explain that to you. You know, I don't know the answer because that's the tradition of the church, I guess. But our character is so important. If we are to be the light to the world, the world is not in this room today. The world is out there. When you walk out the door, you enter the world. Some churches have, I saw one, this church where I'm doing a school of ministry, has a sign hanging up outside the front door. You're now walking into your mission field. The world out there sees us. And if they see us pretending to be a Christian, but we don't act like it, we're not letting our light shine within. Our lives are to reflect Christ, to reflect God in us and His light to a dark world. I used a visual illustration one time years ago. I had a box that I had covered in black print, and I had a black piece of paper over it, like construction paper. I may do this one day, but I had a light inside the box, but you couldn't see the light in the box. But if you put a pinhole in the paper, all of a sudden you could see a little bit of light. You put more pinholes in it, you could see more light. And eventually, you got so many pinholes in it, you can see the light shining through. But if you didn't put a pinhole in it, there was no light. If we don't let others see Christ in us, there's no light in our life to show. It's not that they might see your theology or your philosophy, your skills at debating the atheist, or your good intentions. They see your good works, your life, your day-by-day living for Christ and for Him. Do I know? Do you know? None of us are naturally born into God's family. But we're actually born lost. But it has to come a time when we surrender to Jesus and we receive that adoption. In a few weeks, we're going to baptize Heather. We were going to do it before the construction, but that kind of messed us up. But we're going to baptize Heather. And a few Sundays ago, I sat right here on the front pew with Heather. And I said, what do you want to do? She said, I want to be baptized. And then when I said, what does that mean to you? Boy, she spit the answers out. There wasn't a wrong answer. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. She knew why she wanted to do it. Now, I've had children come and they say, I want to be baptized. Why? I don't know. Well, you're not ready. But Heather's ready. And so we'll do it. I think we talk about still a couple more Sundays away yet, but we'll let you know that. And even though I will have had my knee surgery by then, I'm still doing it, okay? You know, I baptized a guy after I had shoulder messed up, and some of them said, we'll get somebody else to do it. Nope. I'm going to do it. I've got it all worked out anyway, so we'll do it. Get my eyes back in order here. Right now, right here, Hopefully every one of us in this room has said yes to Jesus. We want to be adopted into that family. But if there's by some chance, hopefully not, but if by some chance someone's here that's never made that decision, today's a good day to do it. Don't wait till tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Hopefully we'll all be here next week, but we don't know what tomorrow brings for any of us. What's keeping from Jesus shining in your life? Is there something that you're hiding? Is there something that you haven't confessed before Him? Because all you have to do is when you confess before Him, Lord, I want to be forgiven. He forgives you. You're part of the family. Before we had our son, we looked into the possibility of adoption ourselves. And we talked to my parents. We talked to Terry's parents. Her father was alive at that time. And my parents were alive at that time. My parents said, John, if you adopt a child, that's our grandchild. Don't matter what the situation is, don't matter. I said, well, what if we adopted, say, a child of a different color? It'd still be my grandchild. I don't care. Not worried about that. Now, Terry's father was a little different. He basically would just come down to wanted a blue-eyed, blonde-haired kid that didn't have any issues. But, God said, it's kind of like what Brenda said in her testimony earlier. God works all these things out, okay? And He worked it out where we didn't need to adopt. And He gave us a son. And now our son was born with a broken leg with a tumor on it. Later had to have that leg amputated. And my son was at the doctor this week about his other foot because he was having some pain. And the doctor asked him, the doctor is Finnish from Finland. And he said, how'd you lose your leg? And I had a little fun with the doctor. And I said, I got mad at him one day and I ran over him with a lawnmower. And I really didn't do that. But I did tell that doctor that. But anyway, when we talked about it, he said, I can only imagine what you went through when he was a child, because he was 7 when that happened. But you know, if he was to walk in here today, if you didn't know that I just told you that and he's wearing long pants, you wouldn't know he's got an artificial leg. It's when he's wearing shorts. Wow, I didn't know he had an artificial leg. But you know, when we're adopted into God's family, we are, all of us, a part of God's family. But let others see that you're a part of God's family out there in the world by the way you live, by the testimonies that you share of what God's doing and has done in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace. Thank you for giving us mercy. We didn't deserve it, but you gave it to us simply when we ask. And now we're part of your family, and nobody can take it away because we are part of you in your family. Lord, it's awesome to think about how big God's family is. When we're in another country and people are singing the same songs that we're singing here, but they're singing it in their language and we don't understand a word they're saying, but we're still rejoicing because we're in the same family with you. Lord, if there is by chance anyone here today who's never said yes to being in your family, I pray that they'll do that today. Get it out of the way. Go on and join up with the family. Father, thank you for your love and watch care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.